As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
But on Tuesdays, we have a lot of fun because we stay here in the city, and Mayor John Hamilton has all of our news and information on what's going on. So we will cruise down the 7 line. Nobody's parked in it this time of day. Head over to the Fernandez Plaza in the City Hall, and there's Mayor John Hamilton. Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm doing good. Mike, how are you doing?
Well, I've got to get your opinion. Would you rather have 35-ish in abundant sunshine or gloomy and not cold at all?
Ooh, I have to tell you, I like weather changes, so I'd probably like alternate. That's fine, because I like bright cold days, but you know, having a little warmth is good. I'm good.
I don't disagree with that. I don't know if I could do Seattle. I don't know if I could do 310 days of this.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
would be. Now, when the sun comes out there, it's like a rock concert. Everybody's like, yeah, let's go.
Because now, let me ask you this. Yeah. What's better weather for the IU soccer team?
Well, that's a really good question. They are going to see rain, it appears, on Friday, which is fine. Makes the ball move.
Is that all right?
As long as there is not inclement weather, they should be fine. So a little rain.
It's just whatever's worse for which team, right? I mean, you know, who deals with bad weather better, right?
I think that's a great way of looking at it. And if – in a game that big, if something as minuscule as getting wet or uncomfortable bothers you, I know which team it's not going to bother. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, all right.
That's not going to bother our
that's
boys.
That's pretty exciting what they're doing. So
hugely exciting. And we'll have a big when we're finished this afternoon, 4:40, we'll have a big 15 minutes with Todd Yeagley as well.
Oh,
take
nice.
Us inside. We'll have Todd today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. So
holy
we're excited.
Smokes.
We're excited.
I got to hang on for that. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that is exciting times. Next year, and I don't want to talk about next year before this year, but this year the Final Four College Cup is in Cary, North Carolina, which is about a 9.5-10 hour drive. Next year, if Todd and the boys keep continuing their fantastic footballing, the Final Four College Cup is in Louisville. That's a much easier get
nice.
To. We might even have the monorail done by then, where we can get down there. But that's exciting. ESPNU will have your coverage. The first semifinal will be Syracuse and Creighton, starting at 6 o'clock, and the Hoosiers and Pitt Panthers will follow about 40 minutes or so after the conclusion of game number one. So exciting times. We talked to you last week. We had a ton of stuff going on. We barely even got to some of the things we needed to get to last week because we were so busy wrapping up the great holiday tradition of the Canopy of Lights. So this week will be a little more business-like. But we talked last week. We knew coming up on Friday, was it Friday last week, where the judge, Judge Nykerk from Lawrence County, could possibly rule on the annexation collection of signatures and how that's been affected the citizens of the county presenting that. There was no guarantee anything would happen. What was the legal ramification from last Friday after the presentations were made?
Well, nothing so far. We both made arguments in the case, and the judge said he'd take it under advisement, try to get back to us. We don't really know anything. And as you indicated, this is just about a preliminary issue, and from my perspective, it's the gatherers of signatures didn't have any complaints about the process until they came back with not as many as they had hoped, and then they said, well, we want another 90 days, and we don't think that's how it works. If you had a problem with the signature, you got to talk about it during it or before it or whatever, but not after the results are in. So, but we'll see, and we hope we get a result on that soon, but that's really just the preliminary. Ultimately, the court is supposed to evaluate is the annexation well planned, is it appropriate, and to give it the thumbs up or the thumbs down. This is for the west side areas 1A and 1B.
So that where it's at is it's been heard and now it's been taken under advisement, and there is no turn to chapter 3 and on this day at this time. It's just whenever the judge decides or gets around to deciding whatever that's going to be.
We just wait till they put the decision out. That's right.
And that is one of two pending litigations, and I bring this up every time because I don't want to cross the streams or think. I just want people to be clear on this. The other one is the legality of the annexation. Do I have that right?
Well, the other one's on the constitutionality of the waivers, the waiver, the determination of waivers. This one is the one we're talking about that was had a hearing is really the kind of the basic classic annexation where a court looks at the plans and they look at the densities and they look at the how many signatures there are, et cetera, and they basically evaluate, well, is this an appropriate thing to do or not? The other one is a much more unusual one where we had the state legislature take an action that we think is unconstitutional to basically wipe out all these waivers that were done over the last 20 years. And that is not really engaged much yet. And that'll mostly be done by very technical legal arguments. It's not so much fact-based as just it was, you know, we won that constitutional case a few years ago that was just did the legislature overreach, and the court said yes, and it's a similar question here.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest today. So, again, there is no by this date or this has to, it's just whenever we get around to all of that. So I just want to remind people of that if they're wondering, oh, someone's not talking about it, or they're, well, it's up to the judge. It's as simple as that. Well, what is today? Today is the 6th of December. Did we talk about Catalent last week? Was that?
I don't think we did.
I don't think so. I think that came out either right when we got finished on Tuesday or Wednesday morning. But Catalent and the jobs they are removing. Sounds like it's the demand, the vaccine production that everybody was gung ho about getting out and doing that. Well, we don't have as much gung ho in our gung ho anymore. So, how does this work? How does this happen? And what is the relationship with the city and Catalan as we move forward?
Yeah, and thanks. I don't think we did get to talk about that last week. You know, it's always difficult, unfortunate, painful, regrettable when a company reduces its workforce, and that's what Catalent announced they were doing by about 400 and for a little over 400 people, which is a lot of people, and they're doing it very quickly, which is also difficult. They you know, they follow what are federal laws to alert people, and they're paying compensation of severance pay and that kind of thing. And we actually have a working group with a number of partners, Ivy Tech and the Chamber and Bloomington Economic Development Corporation and others that are trying to do all that we can to help people find other work or deal with those situations. Now, you know, at the highest level, as you look, Catalan, as you indicated, when they came to town, they had about 750 employees. They, after the layoffs, will have about 3,100 employees. So they've had a major growth, and this retrenchment, I think, as they explained it, has been due to the fact that when they just cranked up their capacity to go to deal with the pandemic and to produce the vaccines, they kind of, you know, they kind of said, all holds loose. Let's just do what it takes to get that vaccine produced. And the demand for the vaccine has reduced, the boosters, and they're having to kind of trim their sails a little bit. They have told us that they still continue to plan that 1,000-job expansion that they committed to over the coming years, and that this is, you know, a central part of their whole corporate strategy. So we hope that is all true. But, you know, it doesn't take away it's a very difficult thing for 400 families to go through.
Yeah, and it's very real. I think that's the other part of it. It doesn't sound ridiculous, the rationale they've provided. Hey, we don't need that many people because we don't make that much or make that anymore. But they have built onto that facility. They're not going to build that infrastructure and just not use it, correct? So that's the good news moving forward, the expansion?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that enormous growth, which is very helpful and has given a lot of people, opportunity. But it's painful for the 400 certainly who were involved in this, and you know, the growth over the next few years we hope will continue. But that's up. There's no guarantees with that. We're working with them. And for folks who know that Catalent got an abatement, one of the good things about how abatement works is they they only get the tax abatement when they grow the jobs as they've said they would. So if they don't grow the jobs the way they said they would, they won't get the tax abatement. But
so
if they do, they will
incentive.
In the future years. Yep, yep.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. And something else from last week I didn't want to make sure that we lost either. The Kiln Collective and the Showers Kiln Building. Did we get to that last week either?
I don't think we did.
Yeah, I think
a lot going on.
Everything was happening right. Don Griffin Jr., the deputy mayor, helped me out on Thursday, but obviously I want to get your thoughts on this as well, because that area with the mill and everything else, that's been in constant development under your I think that land was built before you were in office, but since you've been there, things have always been happening down there. This is just another step in that process.
Yeah, it's exciting. This is one of those things that kind of got waylaid and postponed during the pandemic, but we had a group. It's a local group of businesses that were have gotten their final approval, and they've now purchased the kiln to turn it that old, basically five giant ovens that were used to dry the wood back in the 19th and 20th centuries are used now, will be converted to office space, and I think it's a coffee shop and room to add a second floor. So it's just another step in the gradual activation of that old trades district and now new center of the new economy next to the mill. So that's really exciting.
Absolutely. And that area will continue to develop. And it's great that local folks want to get in there and get after it. Not surprising, some of those names locally have bounced around, and I mean that in a good way. I know the boys at Sprout Box, where they were over in the warehouse for a while. Bailey Weiler's jumped in. Soma's everywhere. Every corner you go, there's another Soma. Well, that's great because they believe in what's going on there, and I think that sets a pretty decent precedent.
It's going to be a really cool building, and you know, we've got more plans for the admin building south of the mill and for the new tech center southwest of the mill, and if you're interested in building something down there, get in touch with Alex Crowley. He'll help you out.
Now, by literally building, are you talking about on that land that's there, or building inside, or both?
No, I think we've talked a while back about the federal grant that's going to help support a tech center, which will be in the empty land southwest of the mill, so just kitty corner from the mill. And then there's, you know, we continue to talk to people interested in that area. And, you know, the pandemic and the office space market has been pretty bumpy, but I think it's starting to settle out and recover, and we're finding some more interest there.
And that interest, you're not concerned if it comes locally or if it comes regionally or even nationally. It's open for business, right?
Not at all. You know, the goal of this is really to focus on employment opportunities for the particularly tech-related, tech-based, new economy opportunities that can grow out of the mill, that can be related to Indiana University and their incredible mix of talent, and both at the student level and at the professor level, the technical expertise. You know, this is a chance for us to continue to diversify our economy and get good paying jobs. So that's a great spot downtown where we see an opportunity, some physical space for that to happen.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest every Tuesday, and he checks in. And last week as well, was that last week? Yeah, I'm trying to get my calendar straightened out here. I keep staring at my November calendar because my December one's on the floor.
Let it go.
I got to let it go, but it's my reference. It's my reference point, but I'm getting my dates wrong because I'm looking at November and not December. Let's start with the public safety investment, bonds and more, the general revenue bonds I'm reading here. That's very important. Tell me how that's going to work moving forward so everybody has a clear path on how that money is going to affect us here locally.
We've talked about public safety, you know, really the most fundamental thing local government and government does is keep us safe. And this will be the single largest public safety investment in Bloomington's history, I think. It's made possible, again, because of the economic development local income tax, which we've talked about a lot. That's helped in a lot of ways, and this is another one. That tax included about $2 million a year dedicated to public safety facilities, infrastructure, building, and both for police and fire. And what we have in front of the city council right now is a bond issue that's going to turn that $2 million annual appropriation into about a 25 plus million single cash infusion by using bonds and, you know, paying them off over time to help us do several things. Restore the downtown fire station. We need that revitalized. We can do it. We've figured it out. Improving the station on the north side of town, the fire station on Woodlawn, number 3, and getting the fire department a logistics and operations center that they're in rental space right now that they're going to lose. So those are all essential for fire. Then the biggest single thing we're doing is planning to purchase the west side of the showers building, the privately held CFC side of the showers building right next to City Hall, and putting in a new police headquarters and fire administration building offices. So this would move the police department from 3rd Street into City Hall, the building, give them about 50% more space, modern space, room to grow as they need to grow, and really importantly, give us a chance to integrate police, fire together with public safety, indeed with the whole city government, to be able to work together even more closely. And frankly, it'll be kind of nice to have the police department in City Hall, where they can be partners and safety protectors here in City Hall too.
And that timeline is all contingent on when these bonds get passed, and then what's the next step to get everything? I don't want to say breaking ground. I mean, the ground's kind of already there, but what is the envisioned timeline of, for example, getting it? I would think moving into the private showers building, showers City Hall part side would be the quickest of it all. Would that be?
It will be. We first, the city council has to approve it, so it's in front of them over the next several weeks. Tomorrow night, I think, is a big step, and then either the 14th or the 21st for another step on that, and they have to approve it. If they don't, it won't go forward, but we hope and expect they will. Once the bonds are approved and sold and then we get the money in, then city government starts grinding its gears to do the design work, to do the bid work, to get the, you know, get all that bid and construction beginning. One of the advantages of showers is, yes, it's an already constructed building. We'll be doing very substantial rehabilitation, but one, you can do it inside the building that's already built, and two, you don't have to mess up the police department's operations while it's being done. You know, they're not rehabbing around them, so that's really helpful. And then the fire stations are basically substantial rehabilitations too, and that'll all get underway in a matter of just a few months once we get the go ahead and a lot of activity over 2023 to get those things completed.
Well, that's a big agenda item on the city council. Well, anything else on the docket for tomorrow night you are keeping your eyes on or we need to keep aware of?
Oh, let's see. I think there's some Hopewell, the old hospital site overlay, some zoning adjustments, which I think will get done soon. I think the county jail proposal, I'm not sure anything's happening tomorrow, but I think over the next couple weeks, the Plan Commission did their recommendation, and that goes to council. There's always a bit of a flurry at the end of the year here, and council's ready to work, and we're ready to work with them.
And the convention center, negotiation? What are we calling this? Process?
Well, that could be in front of city council. We've proposed some more approaches and issues, and I haven't gotten anything back yet from county on their reaction to it, so I don't really know. The city council may weigh in on that. That's kind of up to them over the next couple weeks, but the year is counting down, and I continue to be optimistic, but what was the forecast this morning? Foggy with a chance of clearing or something like that. I don't know. You know, let's go with that.
Well, and the other part of this as well is in the 15 bullet points. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, sure.
Are you open to 9 of those working, or is it all 15? Is there room to wiggle in there, or is that part of this process that will go on behind closed doors and we'll try to get this worked out?
Well, I'd be happy to talk to people about it. We haven't had the opportunity to do that. We've kind of, it's kind of like sending your offer over and waiting to hear if you get a counteroffer or a reaction to it, and we just haven't gotten that yet. Certainly willing to sit down and talk about it. I continue to believe that the CIB approach is very complicated and bureaucratic and cumbersome and problematic. But what we tried to do is say, well, these 15 things would at least make it better. We still continue to think a 501c3 gives a smoother way forward. And just to remind people, a 501c, I think it's a C6, not a C3, but there's not much difference between those two. The 501c6 has operated the convention center for 30-plus years with no problem. Currently, it's operated by that. So we do think it's worked very well. But we'll see, and happy to sit down and talk about them.
And we'll wrap things up on a positive note, it appears, as well, as the city and AFSCME reached an agreement. We talked a little bit about that last week, but that was something that folks were worried about. I would say, what, before the election, they wanted that taken care of, but you eventually got it done before the calendar year, pretty much like you thought, correct?
I'm very pleased that we've reached an agreement with the union, and in fact, the union membership voted to endorse the agreement more than 4-1, so that's a very strong endorsement from the work force. We did believe, and we continued to remind City Council and others who were stressed about it, and I understand, including some of the workers were stressed that a contract hadn't been reached, and we said there's a process. The process is deliberate, and it's confidential, and it's respectful, and we've done this a few times, and we did it again, and we're very pleased. We think it's a very good contract to make sure we are an employer of choice, and that we treat our employees well because they treat all of us so well with all that they do. And the fact that they endorsed it over 4-1 is really encouraging and affirming that that process did well. And we're really proud to be able to move forward with a new 4-year contract with them.
And we just got it done, and I don't mean to do it this way, but just from a process standpoint, so it expires in 4 years. Do you start renegotiating in when it ends, the month before, a year before? How does that work moving forward so people can have kind of, I know they won't remember, but an understanding of how that works?
The typical practice is we do 4-year labor agreements with our three main unions, the police, the fire, and the AFSCME, Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. And typically during the fourth year, so this contract will cover 23, 24, 25, 26. During 2026, typically the mayor, which won't be me, will begin the negotiations with that union for the following years, and 4-year contract.
That's funny. Because, well, you won't be the mayor then. That's a fact, because you told us you're not going to be running for office in re-election. So there we go. You guys are hiring. What do you need? Just about plenty of opportunities? Well, I was just thinking the people that I don't want to say that when they got laid off at Catalent, they'll automatically get a job at the city, but there are opportunities.
Oh, my goodness. We, you know, like many employers, we have opportunities all through the organization, from commercial driver's license holders to laborers to IT workers to parks department to engineering. And if you're interested, and I will tell you, we have a wonderful workforce of 800 people who are dedicated, and they get up every day and know they're helping this whole city work and everybody in it. We'd love to have your interest. Check out the website for jobs that we do have available.
And Deputy Mayor Don Griffin Jr. is joining the party. He is the third person now to enter the paperwork department. That's you got to do that first, right? You can talk about it all you want, but until you file that paperwork, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, there's a couple steps, and Don, who I know you know well, and I of course know well, has put his hat in the ring with the first step of an exploratory committee, and then the formal filing, which I expect of all three, will happen sometime between early January and early February. There's a window where you formally file to be a candidate. But to begin the process, you need a committee that can, collect funds and organize your efforts and get that. And Don has made that happen, and I'm really, really happy for him.
Well, we'll get his firsthand account of that when he joins us on Thursday afternoon. We'll recap the city council meeting as well. Hopefully have great news about those bonds. Well, I don't have any sunshine for you the next few days, so it's kind of going to look like this. But the temperatures are in the 50s. It's not perfect, but It's not bad. It's not bad either. Come back next Tuesday. We'll warm it up and hopefully have some sunshine.
Thank you so much, Mike. I hope everybody has a good and safe week. Take care.